like a wild man.
I want you to struggle, and I want you wrestling with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct Jordan Hare Stadium time is 8:17 p.m. Your digital audio device is tuned into the Orange and True podcast, brought to you cordially by Sonic Tools for the last time, harbored by collegemagnolia.com forever. I am Son of Crow, at Son of Crow 2 on Twitter, at Son of Crow on Venmo. To one side of me, at the amateur statistician, the engineer, Grillmaster Ryan Starrett, at Ryan S. Starrett.
Who's ready to play Tennessee in the conference tournament again?
To the other side of me, giving you the full Fort Payne ASMR that you pay the extra dollars for, AU Chief.
Valar Morghulis.
Greetings, Orange and Truthers. Tonight, we talk baseball. We talk a little basketball. We do a little football. But first, is not trivia, it's baseball. Your favorite sport, America's pastime. The Brits call it rounders. We call it the national game. We're going to talk a little baseball with our resident baseball expert, Drew McCracken. Hello, Drew. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine, Drew, and the rest of the cast of thousands.
The magic of the internet, Drew McCracken on the radio with us for the first time, live to tape. And Ryan, what's coming up for Auburn baseball?
Well, we got another baseball game on, well, the day you're listening to this, more than likely. It's a Tuesday. We're playing Tennessee again, right? So we think we kind of know how that goes in conference tournaments.
We're already up in Hoover, so yeah. They were there.
Yeah. You guys speak up. You guys sound sad. Oh,
sorry.
Drew, tell us a little bit what we can expect about this Tennessee baseball team.
Well, Tennessee is a completely different team from the team that we saw at Plainsman Park earlier this season, where Auburn won all three games somewhat handily, you could say, with a outscoring of 12-5, 2-0 win on game one, 5-2 on Saturday, and then a 5-3 really exciting ball game on Sunday. Mm-hmm. To wrap up the sweep. I'm sure most of you guys were watching a basketball tournament or something like that at that point that day. But
I was listening to it on my way back.
That's true most days.
Yeah, that's very true.
For us, yeah.
Very true. But this Tennessee ball club is a completely different ball club from that Auburn saw, like I said earlier, at the beginning of the SEC season. The good news for Auburn is that you're probably not going to see the two Garretts. Garrett Stallings is their Friday night guy, and he did a bang-up job against Ole Miss last week. So you're probably not going to see something like that. These play-in games are kind of a crapshoot normally, just because you don't really know who's going to be able to go. The rumor is Elliot Anderson's going to go for Auburn tomorrow. And I really have not heard who's going to go for Tennessee. They're coming into conference play. Their pitching staff was the highly touted, really award winner for the team. And it kind of got banged up in the SEC play, but it's starting to come back on here in the last part of the season.
Nice. So what do you think? What's your prediction? If you had to make a prediction for this game, how do you think Auburn fares?
You know, it's I'm going to go with what has been going for the previous part of the season. Auburn has the pitching, they really do, believe it or not, to be able to make a run. The question is going to be, can they get enough offense to do it? If you just go back last weekend and take a microcosm of that series, Auburn's offense had two hits both and a run on both Thursday and Friday, games 1 and 2 in the LSU series, and were outscored by 7-5. Normally, that's not enough. You want to keep them to about keep teams to about a 3-4 range as far as run production. And you saw it work out for Auburn on Saturday. The offense was able to respond, and in that turn, Auburn had three of their top four pitchers going, and Tanner Burns, Cody Greenhill, and Ryan Watson, who's really come on this year after a good summer last year down in Florida. So if Auburn's pitching staff and offense can kind of work together in sync, I think Auburn could at least get one win. The bad news is that the winner of this one gets Vanderbilt.
Wow, what a prize.
Yeah, it's what a reward to as your play-in game. The good news is, though, that on the bottom side of the bracket, LSU and South Carolina are on the other side for a winner-loser bracket. It's going to be LSU because South Carolina just doesn't have the manpower. But if you can get to Vanderbilt, then you're probably playing either LSU or Mississippi State, which isn't a prize by any stretch, but it's a lot better than some other teams up on the top of the bracket.
I have a couple of questions. The first one is...
Sure.
Yeah, the first one is, are there any weird, wacky rule changes that are going to go into effect for the SEC tournament? I remember a couple of years ago they put the pitch clock in for the SEC tournament. They tried it out. Is anything like that happening this year?
I don't believe so. If they are, I have not heard anything in everything that I've read. Of course, it'll be just like SEC play was this year. You'll have the instant replays throughout. I think the main thing that everybody's worried about, as it always is in Hoover this time of year and around the Southeast, can the weather cooperate for 5 or 6 days? It looks like it might. For the first time ever, it's just going to be insanely hot. But you remember a couple of years ago, games being called because of fog and rain just plagues this tournament. So, but no, as far as any rules or weird little twists to try to test the game to make, because it is a grind to get four games in. I think the first 3 days we try to get four games in. So it's definitely a grind, and they try to tweak things, but I don't believe we've got any weird, wacky rules for this year.
Yeah, and I got one last question for you. How many games, if any, does Auburn need to really get a solid seed in the NCAAs?
You know, this is the $64,000 question. I personally think Auburn's done enough, but then last year I thought Auburn had done enough to get a home regional, and only to come up one team short, if you will, or the 17th team to in the tournament. I would feel a lot better if Auburn were able to beat Tennessee and go 4-0 against the Vols this year. Tennessee has picked up a lot of momentum, especially with a series win over Georgia. And a series win now over Ole Miss, which even though they've slipped up a little bit here and there, they're still a name to know, and a name that gets a lot of respect. I would like to see Auburn get a win, just not go one and done up in Hoover. It would make for a very long 5-6 day wait, as bids don't come out until noon on Memorial Day. So I would say Auburn's done enough, but it would really depend on the bubble watch for the rest of the country at that point. If Auburn goes 0-1, if teams like Virginia Tech and others around the country, some smaller schools, maybe steal a bid, maybe a Sam Houston State might be in line for a bid out of the Southland Conference.
Bearcats.
But lose in their conference tournament. If they're in line to get a bid anyways, that steals a bid from teams like Auburn, Florida, Missouri. There's a lot of teams in this SEC tournament. For one of the few years, this is going to be a year of bubble teams in the SEC as they try to get to 11 teams and reach that maximum bid.
Wow.
No conference has ever gotten 11 teams. Of course, the SEC is tied for the lead, I believe, with the ACC with 10. But there's a legitimate shot that if you see Auburn, Missouri, Florida win tomorrow, you might be looking at a league getting 11 teams into the NCAA.
That's crazy. Wow. Guys, and that's pretty unbelievable. I think Ryan has one last question. Yeah. We'll cut you off, Drew.
Drew, if Auburn makes a run in this in the SEC tournament, in your mind, what do they have to do right? Like, if they go and win four games here, what did they do this week that put them over the top?
offense. Offense is the one thing that has plagued this team, both good and bad. I mean, if you just look back at the past couple of games, I've got the schedule right here in front of me. A loss to LSU 5-1, a loss 7-1, a loss 10-8, a loss 11-2, 6-4. I mean, you're looking at still young pitching talent, which that's going to happen. This was more of a growing pains year than I think we kind of hoped as fans and as people that follow Auburn baseball. But you expected more games like against Mississippi State, the 20-15 slugfest to cap that series. But you didn't expect 15-2 the day before, or rolling down 11-6 to Jacksonville State. You didn't expect those kind of outcomes. You expected your offense to be able to pick up when your pitching staff struggled. And it just hasn't happened. So people like, we've talked and we've celebrated Matt Scheffler, Connor Davis, Ryan Bliss, Kaysen Howell to a point, but you're going to have those contributions. Will Holland started to look a little bit hotter here in the past couple of series. You're going to have to get Edouard Julian somehow light a fire under him. Stephen Williams started to look a little bit better in the LSU series with a triple and driving in a double to drive in a run in the Saturday game. So that's the main thing. If Auburn's offense can just get it started, then the pitching staff will start to believe and start to roll and start to get that confidence that they don't have to be perfect. Because that, at least in my untrained eye, that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a pitching staff that feels like they need to be perfect. And these are, 18, 19-year-old kids that were playing high school last year. Richard Fitz, Brooks Fuller, Will Morrison, Garrett Wade, and those guys were pitching in high school this time. They'd already wrapped up their seasons this time last year, and now they're being, not forced, but they're being put into positions of real regard and feeling like they need to be perfect because they don't know if the offense can come back from a 2-3-4-run deficit.
Good stuff, Drew. Let's Orange and Truthers, consider yourselves prepared. You can go in now to the SEC tournament knowing exactly what's going to happen, what to look for. Thanks to Drew McCracken. Drew, it's been a pleasure having you on. Let's have you on again. Let's not wait for another baseball season to have you back on. It's a long off season.
Whenever you guys
need it's a long off season.
Oh, it is. It's way too long.
Get you back on.
Way too long. Thanks, right, guys.
Thanks, Drew.
War of the show.
That was Drew McCracken. What do you think? Call in. We're at 1-888-COLLEGE-AND-MAGNOLIA. It's 1-888-COLLEGE-AND-MAGNOLIA. And again, really good stuff from Drew.
This is the most
Drew.
Professional our podcast has really ever sounded.
That was Drew McCracken on the Subway
professional
hotline.
Professional radio broadcaster. Yeah,
the Mama Goldberg's Drew Mama's McCracken. Love Hotline. Oh, man.
And
guys.
That's my wedding ring you just heard slam on the table just then.
It's okay. My foot popped earlier and I heard it through the speaker. So that's what happens when you are a semi-amateur cyclist. Feet just torn apart.
Also, when you get into your 30s. Yeah. Competed in athletic
it
events
sounds as if
any
I'm,
point in your life.
It sounds like a machine gun is my walk to the bath to the bedroom or to the bathroom in the middle of the night sounds like the Battle of the Somme.
Yeah.
I mean it's
yeah.
It's pretty awful.
It like must just be a problem. Yeah. It must
artillery
be a problem
going on.
People. I don't really have that yet.
Now Ryan, yeah. What you do have though, listen to this professional segue. What you do have is a trivia question.
I do.
Oh man, great segue.
I know.
It might not be too hard
pro podcast.
Last week might have been a little too hard on you guys.
Okay.
All right.
What are you talking about? We like
last time
basically
was
got
outrageously
it.
Outrageously
came up like halfway through.
Name what? The six guys whose last names ended in S who have done. Yeah.
All right. So last year is the exception. Gus is known for finding a primary running back and giving them most of the carries during the season. Trey Mason had 317 carries in 2013, the most in a Gus Malzahn offense, for Auburn at least. Who holds the Auburn record for most carries in a season?
Carnell Williams.
You don't want me to just blur it out, right?
No. It's not Carnell Williams. Well, it might
be. If you know, we're gonna have Crow go through.
Carnell had the most in a carry, most carries in a game against Georgia. I know that.
Yeah.
That was.
He also has the most carries in a career, but not in the season.
Yeah.
Oh. Because he was my go-to answer because of that. I knew he had the most carries in a career. I didn't know that. I knew he had the most in the game.
Because he was here for all 4 years and
yeah, played the primary back for almost all.
Played big chunks of all 4 years, but he got hurt so many times.
That right. Kept him. So that keeps Ronnie from being it either. Because right. he also.
The guy we're looking for is not far removed from those guys.
Is it Kenny Irons?
Wrong direction.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's Trey Smith. That's really wild. No idea it would be Trey Smith.
The answer is always Trey Smith.
Heath Evans.
Heath Evans. Is it Stephen? No, is it Stephen Davis?
Close.
Yeah, you're also
Rudy Johnson.
Yes. Rudy Johnson.
There, Rudy Johnson.
324 is the number.
Rudy Johnson.
It was close.
One of my first ever, before I even knew of Auburn, before I really even knew that I wanted to come here, before I knew anything about this wonderful village on the plains.
You knew Rudy
I was Johnson. Tearing people apart on Madden with Rudy Johnson.
Yeah, for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, I used to go in.
And that was the cool thing. He was already a Tiger.
Yeah.
The Tiger.
I go in there and go, man, I don't know who the Bengals are. All I know is that if I run this one play on quarterback club 98 or whatever, I can just smoke people.
I was at Rudy's first game in Jordan-Hare. I came down with my friend that I used to come to football games with. And another guy we knew was with us, and he was big into recruiting. Like, you know, 15 years of age or 14.
Back when you just had the Inside the Auburn Tigers magazine.
It was like Rivals. Rivals was like a brand new thing at that point. And he like knew everything about all these guys. He was just going on and on about Rudy Johnson on the way up there. And I was just like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't, whatever. And then we see him. This is the game where he carried like four guys in the end zone just trying to drag him down. And the last 20 yards in the end zone, he just drug them in.
Ryan, have you ever seen the highlights of that game against Wyoming? It's pretty amazing.
He's
no.
That was this game.
No.
And
really? Have you not?
You've never seen Rudy Johnson?
Because then I didn't know it was, but once
you were five. Okay. So
yeah. I get on the YouTubes and look up Auburn versus Wyoming, Rudy Johnson. That's a good watch.
He's probably one of the more, it's unfortunate, like forgotten Auburn running backs.
Yeah. You're 100% right.
Sure. He came right before Cadillac.
He's only here a year.
Right. He's only here a year.
And yeah, he is forgotten.
As productive of an NFL career as any other running
star.
Back.
I mean, yeah. Great on Madden. What I would say in terms of forgotten, that's a great question.
Wait, also went and played for a crap team, too.
Top five.
Every Auburn player played for
Top five most underrated Auburn running backs. He's up there. I would put Ben Tate probably 1A.
Yeah, probably.
Behind Rudy Johnson. Probably.
See, I'm not sure I agree with that because I feel like he gets a good amount of respect.
He didn't get as much when he was at school.
I think he does.
Not when he was here, you're right. Looking back.
I think he does because he's still remembered. I think the further we get away from it, people are not.
It helped that he was in the NFL for seven or eight years as a backup running back.
Yeah.
And for a decent team, the Texans, too.
Yeah, I do think that once we get as far away from him as we are from Rudy, it'll be sort of the same situation where people don't really remember.
Him also being here multiple years helps him as well.
Right. I think the
Rudy effect is almost like with Cameron Artis Payne. He was here for 2 years.
Cameron Artis Payne's on that list.
Do you know why we ended up with a JUCO running back in 2000?
In 2000?
Yeah,
no, I don't. So I didn't know that JUCO was in 2000.
Okay, so... All
the computers were set up to end in 1999, and everybody thought that was going to be it. And so Auburn had a JUCO running back. Yeah. Like, well, why not? The world's going to end.
So Terry Bowden had just not recruited any running backs. We had guys like I can't even remember the guys we had at this point.
Gabe Gross.
And so we ended up with no running backs in 1999. A man named Heath Evans, who played for the Saints for a while in the National Football League.
Who has some hot sports takes.
He does. He's a local now, too. Yeah. He's hanging around. Anyway, he was just a fullback, but he ended up playing a lot of running back for us. Not really carrying the ball a lot. We threw the ball a lot in 1999. And then we got Rudy Johnson to come in the next year because we just had to find a guy that would be able to play that next year. And he did so well, he was not there the next year in 2001, which was Carnell's freshman year. So
he was almost the stopgap, but for
he was a holdover. He was the holdover. We went a year without a real running back, although Heath Evans would tell you that he is a real running back. So take that for what it's worth. And then we ended up with Rudy for a year. And then is when we started our continuity of running backs.
Right. Speaking of running backs, Ryan has a question that goes right into the show notes that I read.
Yeah, just I figured we'd talk about running backs for a little bit tonight. Something interesting I was just kind of looking through. Gus Malzahn as running the Auburn offense, either as a coordinator or head coach, has basically always had an NFL running back on the roster. I thought that was interesting because he doesn't get any credit for that, but he gets a ton of flack for not having NFL quarterbacks.
Yeah. Right. But, or offensive linemen.
Right. Well, yeah.
I mean, I guess some of that may just be because that's expected at Auburn. Like, if you don't have an NFL running back, guy coming out of the NFL, or going that will right. eventually end up in the NFL at Auburn, then you're going to probably lose your job. And that's why some people are a little concerned about what we have on campus now.
Which I think they shouldn't be. I'm a big, after this past year, especially after the last couple of games of the season, I've become a bigger Jartavius Whitlow fan.
I'll do respect to Jartavius. I don't know that he's an NFL caliber.
I don't know if he is either, but he's a good college running back. And I think there's enough talent. I mean, Auburn's still been recruiting running back really well.
Have they?
We've never been the team that's going to land five stars. Oh, I mean, even Kerryon wasn't the five-star running back.
Yeah.
I mean, so I'll just go through the list of...
Cam Martin was a four-star running back.
Right. So I'll just go through the list of the NFL running backs, Gus's coach, since he's been here. Ben Tate, Trey Mason, Corey Grant, Cameron Artis Payne, Peyton Barber, and Kerryon Johnson. Mm-hmm. All of those guys are in the NFL.
Yeah.
Or were in the NFL.
Mike Dyer got a cup of coffee in the NFL.
I don't think he did.
No.
Did he not? Did he not even make a... I thought he made a squad.
I don't think so.
Rock Thomas made a squad.
Yeah.
Are we going to count Rock Thomas?
Well, he was on campus. They threw a couple swing passes to him.
He didn't
catch. He dropped a few balls.
None of those guys were, you know, blue chip. I mean, Kerryon's probably the most blue chip of those recruits, right? A lot of those guys are solid four stars.
Yeah, I think they were all four-star guys, pretty much.
I mean, Cameron Payne was a JUCO.
Yeah.
Peyton Barber was a three-star.
Yeah. I think there were, and to be fair, I think there were concerns over both of those guys, and they ended up right. Okay.
And so Gus's biggest running back recruit, which was Mike Dyer, was... He didn't go to the NFL.
Mike Dyer is the running back for the Texas Revolution of the Champions Indoor Football League.
Okay, professional running back.
Yeah. Hey, him and Jeremy Johnson playing in similar leagues.
Yeah. He was on the Oakland Raiders in 2015. Oakland Raiders roster.
Was he?
Yeah.
For
He went undrafted. He was signed on May 11th, 2015 by the Raiders. And then he played that whole season on their practice squad or on their roster.
Okay.
And then he went to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Oh, yeah. I think I knew that.
For 2 months of 2016. That's where he didn't make a squad.
Interesting.
That our friends up north.
The Great White North.
Anyways, that's an interesting note to bring up. As much flack as he gets for not having pro quarterbacks, he's done a pretty good job with pro running backs.
Yeah, he really has. I mean, again, maybe like Chief's right, it's kind of expected. Yeah. It's kind of like, okay, well.
Like, if we had, well, that's, there's concern because we didn't have the 1,000-yard rusher. And if we carry on like we are, no pun intended, at the moment, I think that there may be some cause for concern.
There'll be concern if we don't have a guy on the roster who makes an NFL team. Yeah. That would be, although, if Mike Dyer, if you don't think he did, then that 2010 team did not have an NFL running back on the roster. Because Michael Dyer didn't make a team.
That's true.
Ontario McCabe didn't make a roster.
Did have a 1,000-yard rusher that made an NFL roster.
Yeah. Well, it's true, but he didn't play running back.
Yeah. Well, he served the same role as a running back.
Is still doing that.
Uh-huh.
All right, Ryan.
So, another question then. So, for this upcoming year, looking forward, we kind of hinted around it.
Who gets the most yards?
Who gets the most yards / are we going to have a 1,000-yard rusher?
I think it's going to be Booby Whitlow is probably going to get the most yards. And if anyone's a 1,000-yard rusher, it's going to be him.
It's whoever stays healthy.
I could see Cam Martin getting a lot of carries. I really do think he was banged up last year.
He was your guy going into
He was my guy last year.
You were real high.
I still am high on Cam Martin.
Poor Arthur's own.
From everybody that I've talked to that knows Cam Martin, apparently he is the nicest guy alive. Is a super hard worker and was banged up. I've got that on good authority that he was banged up last year. and is really, really good, and maybe the best guy on the team at running back. So we will see. The issue he always had was pass protection. So can he pass protect, not being the biggest dude on the planet?
Well, depends on our quarterbacks may not need quite as much.
Yeah, that's the question. I don't expect Bo Nix to run for 1,000 yards, although he will run for a decent amount.
Yeah.
If Joey Gatewood is the quarterback.
Oh, Joey Greatwood.
Do you think he could run for 1,000?
No. I don't think we're...
Joey Gatewood drive.
I don't know that we'll... I don't know. I don't know that we'll run him that way. I don't think he's Cam Newton. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Will he run?
Nate Marshall did it too.
Will they line up in that weird fake extra point?
Swing and call it the Swinging Gatewood? Heats.
The Swinging Gatewood is what they'll call it.
Oh, look at you.
That's the whole point of that. And Ryan walked all over my shirt.
You're setting it up.
I'm setting it up.
Man, it was good.
The Swinging Gatewood in Arkansas would be so mad. Different coach, still mad at us because they're Arkansas.
Ryan's still got to learn the art of the dad joke.
The art, you got to know when it's coming.
I got a little time.
Yeah, you got to know when it's coming. All right, moving right on to baseball. We've already talked a lot of baseball.
We talked a little baseball.
I think we're good on baseball for the
next
6 months.
We can't say anything that Drew didn't know.
That LSU win was good.
Yeah. Softball, we lost to Arizona. And that the season's over.
Yeah, so that was a regional. They were the 2 seed in the Tucson regional, which I didn't even realize how storied of a program Arizona is.
They were talking
about it during the broadcast of like there's been 30 women's college world series, and they've been to over half of them or something like that.
They
haven't even been in the last 10 years.
I can only name. I think a lot of people can only name one non-Auburn softball player of all time. It's Jenny Finch. And I think she may have gone to Arizona.
That sounds right. Or did she go to Arizona State?
One of the Arizona schools. But she was like the greatest.
Didn't our former coach at Arizona State?
I think you're right.
Yeah.
He did.
I think that the Arizona schools are kind of like the Alabama schools for football when it comes to softball. That is kind of where
I was
going
to compare the Arizona softball team to the Fort Payne High School women's.
Oh, you know what? That's a
soccer team.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's what I was thinking.
I don't know. They've been to like half the. Well, at one point they'd been to like half the state finals in women's soccer, but then they didn't go for a long time. But anyway, similar situations. Everybody out there will get it.
Yeah, everybody out there will get it. They should call themselves the Painmakers. That's free for a Payne High School. Just hang your name to the Painmakers.
Yeah.
So softball had not a great year, but you could kind of go, hey, we didn't have a ton in the cupboard. And we made a regional.
We had a good year compared to everything before our last coach.
Right.
Right.
So actually, we had an amazing year.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we ended up with a 2 seed in the regional. They had a really rough stretch down the end of the season there where they lost like 10 or 11 conference games in a row.
They're building consistency as a program.
And really right now is when you start to see – what happens when you change coaches, especially when there's a scandal. Like, it's hard to recruit that first year.
Right,
yeah.
When Mickey Dean comes in. But this team's still got a lot of talent. They fought really hard in this regional day. Lost the first game to Arizona 2-1. Won the loser's bracket game to get a rematch with Arizona.
Yeah.
And Arizona took an early lead. Auburn fought right back and... ultimately, wheels kind of fell off at the end of it.
Yeah.
They were shorthanded. You know, Ashley Swindle took a pitch off
her. And it took a comeback.
Batted
right
ball
the
off the face, yeah.
Off the face.
Luckily, like, it's nothing, but it was only a concussion.
Right. Could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the words of Samuel L. Jackson from Jurassic Park, could have been a lot worse.
We were discussing Samuel L. Jackson deaths earlier.
And that one, Jurassic Park's a good one, but not nearly as good as Deep Blue Sea.
Deep Blue Sea is his greatest death, right?
Oh.
It's gotta be.
Gotta be.
Spoiler alert for everybody.
Spoiler for everyone who hasn't seen Deep Blue Sea.
Because really, it is upsetting if you've been spoiled on that one, because if you're spoiled, it's not as great.
Spoiler alert, there's a bird, and it's LL Cool J's best friend. He's got a weird religious situation going on, LL Cool J. That movie is...
And I know way too much about this movie.
Yeah, that movie has a lot of problems. It's got first act problems. It's got second act problems. There's a lot of issues with Deep Blue Sea. That's one of those movies that, Ryan, you would see the preview as a kid, and you'd go, holy moly, I cannot wait. It's like Jurassic Park with sharks.
I was there day one for that movie.
That movie, and then the exact same movie with gorillas, was called Congo.
Oh my gosh, it is the same
movie. Neither were very good.
Like they were the same movie.
Deep Blue Sea came after it. Starring Thomas
Congo
Jane.
Was way better than Deep Blue Sea.
Oh, well.
Congo is way better.
Both not very
except
good.
Except Congo has a talking monkey. And that's kind of like.
It's weird.
It's science.
Now, Congo, the book is great.
Oh, yeah.
The movie is odd compared to the book.
Right, I cannot begin to explain how lost I am in this conversation.
Congo is a movie.
Michael Crichton is a.
Michael Crichton is an American author, wrote a book called Jurassic Park. It made a gazillion dollars as a movie. And thanks, so they began saying, hey, Mike, got any other books? We're going to make all of them into movies, no matter how bonkers they are. And so the next one they made was one called Congo about monkeys. But not just monkeys.
And is it like a Jurassic Park for monkeys?
Killer gorillas in the King Solomon's Mines.
King Solomon's Mines. There are lasers. These lasers are used for communication. And that's not explained. There's a lot going on in the movie The Congo. But
just pick up a Michael Crichton book. You'll be entertained.
The books are super good. They have a lot of science in them, but they're really good. And it kind of makes you go, oh, yeah, this could totally happen. And then, like, you talk to an actual scientist or somebody, and they're like, no, this could totally not
happen.
Didn't
he die recently?
Or is he still he's been dead. Okay. Oh, Bob Weir at the game tonight.
Oh, how about that?
The Portland Trail Blazers game.
I don't know who's shooting a free throw, but that's Seth what I Curry. Imagine.
So how have these games been pretty close?
He looks like Mike Bibby.
That's Seth Curry. Steph Curry's brother.
Okay.
Yeah, it makes sense why he looks like Mike.
Yeah, Seth.
I think it's the headband.
So anyway, back to Michael Crichton books. And then we had another one. About living under sea, under the water, but I can't remember what it was called.
I don't think, yeah.
Did they ever make Andromeda straight into a movie? Because they showed up.
They made a TV series.
Perfect. That makes more sense.
That I have yet to see, but.
I don't think it's going to be good.
Oh, bad.
Because they've only made, this is kind of like, there's a really great Paul F. Tompkins joke about movies about sharks, where he goes, so they're making movies about sharks? Any good ones? Oh, just the one? Still?
Sharknado,
right?
Wasn't good?
I don't
know.
The one is Sharknado.
No. It's kind of like...
Sharknado 3?
Same joke, but with Michael Crichton books. So they made another movie about Michael Crichton book. How many have there been that are good? Oh, just the one? Yeah, just the one. Just Jurassic Park 1, and that's it. The rest have been off the wall.
I'm trying to think... I went and saw John Wick 3 this weekend.
Oh, how was that?
It was good. I still think the first one's the best, if you've seen that.
I haven't seen the John Wick. I need to make that happen, yeah.
Keanu Reeves is a great guy, so it's...
I don't know if he's a great guy or not.
No, he is. He's legendarily a great guy. So
he also doesn't age.
Well,
he has that Paul Rudd disease.
No, definitely.
Paul Rudd looks younger in Ant-Man than he does in the last movie. And he looks younger in the second Ant-Man than in the first.
He's younger now in Endgame, if he's in Endgame. I don't want to spoil anything for you guys. Than he did in Clueless.
Oh, man. Clueless. Ryan, Clueless was a movie, coming-of-age movie about an American teenage girl.
Starring Alicia
Silverstone, who...
That's not a name I know.
...famously was best friends with Liv Tyler, who's the daughter of Steven Tyler of Aerosmith.
A series of Aerosmith videos in the late 90s.
Each worse than the first. And each more creepy because it's your daughter than the first.
And she looks just like you. Mm-hmm. Like just like you.
Yeah. And, like, the movies are like... Or the videos are all about, these are these 16-year-old girls, and they're so great and, like, attractive. Like, wait a minute. First off, that's your kid. Second off, she's 16. Yeah.
So basically, music for the last 1,000 years.
Yeah.
It's all the same.
There's a lot of Aerosmith that, if you want an American rock band who could not get popular in 2019, it is Mr.
Steven Tyler and Joe Perry and the boys.
Dude looks like a lady. Does not get recorded in 2019.
Great song too.
Does not
get Mrs. Doubtfire doesn't get made in the year 2019.
That's true.
It's a great movie. I don't know. Great might be a strong.
You know who is great? Jared Harper. Jared Harper.
Yeah.
Put on a show at the NBA Combine.
He did. Wasn't even invited originally.
I didn't see how he did at the Combine.
I watched a little Combine. He had. Not a great showing. He didn't get a ton of minutes because obviously he wasn't one of the premier guys. He made all of his free throws.
Well, there you go.
Made a couple of threes. I think he missed a lot of threes, but he didn't take any 2-point shots. Had a couple of assists.
Had been a couple unusual of steals.
Yeah.
He's not going to be able to go to the basket in the NBA.
But man,
you could only barely pull that off.
In terms of measurables, he did the full combine measurable deal and he was at or above everybody else. Like, he was in top 3 or 4 on everything.
So what you're saying is there's going to be a team that's going to be like, this guy's a steal.
They're going to be a team that goes, this kid is 5'11", yeah, but his wingspan is 6'5".
That's pretty good.
6'5". His wingspan's bigger than dudes.
He doesn't look that long.
There are sweeping the floor. Oh, no.
You look at him again, he's long.
His arms are pretty long.
His wingspan is longer than some dudes in the draft who are 6'4".
Hmm.
There are some dudes in the draft who are 6'5", who have the same wingspan as him.
Does that make him an endomorph or an ectomorph? I forget how that goes.
I don't remember how that works. Yeah. It means he's probably missed his calling as a really good rock climber.
I have a pretty big wingspan, but that didn't...
See?
I was actually a pretty big dude, Chief.
I was actually pretty good at blocking shots.
Yeah.
Jared, I'm not that much taller than he is.
Yeah, 5'11". He's 5'11", which was a big deal because he was taller 6'3", than...
6'3", that's like 4 inches.
Yeah.
Like this much.
He measured taller than, what's his name, LSU's point guard, that everyone thought was a normal size guy.
Waters?
Yeah. He actually measured taller than him. Ah. So it kind of is like he may just be skinny.
Remember when he might look shorter than he actually is. Trying to tell us all that he was 6 foot?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's kind of like Kyler Murray. Everyone thought he was 5'9". There are people who thought he was 5'9". And if he goes to the combine, he's like 5'11".
Oh.
And you're like, oh, well, maybe just because he's not muscular or big, he actually just looks smaller than he is.
That could be.
That could be a Jared thing. But he has a 40-inch vertical, Jared Harper.
That's pretty.
Which he was top five in that. Yeah.
Do basketball players run 40s? Like, what's their speed test?
They do a three-line test, kind of. Yeah, and I don't even know if he ran. Not all those guys do that. I don't know if he did it. I know they played a ton of 5-on-5.
Yeah, there's not a lot of those. No, some of those measurables.
They do bench press, though. Because I don't know if they still do, but they did for a while. Because famously, Kevin Durant bench pressed, like, he couldn't do the 225. Like, he couldn't do it once.
If it's heavier than basketball, why do you got to be able to put it up?
Well, and that's the thing.
You got to be strong.
There was this weird fake controversy that Kevin Durant couldn't bench press 225 pounds. Well, is he worth a top five pick? Blah, blah, blah. And
I bet you can't squat much either.
Yeah. And guess what?
Because he's so long
ways to go.
Ball ain't heavy.
Squat is always hard for me. I'm only, like I said, like not even 6'3". So it's like, the long legs. It's not fun to go up and down.
Anyway, basketball, you just got to put the ball in the basket.
Where we're going with this is Jared Harper's now projected to be picked by some places.
Yeah, he's taken in the back of the second round.
Guys, if Auburn ends up with two players drafted in this draft.
That's big.
And one of them is Jared Harper.
It's big.
I don't think anybody would have predicted that at the beginning of the year.
No. I wasn't predicting it 2 weeks ago.
I would have predicted Chuma and Jared. I would have maybe told you Austin Wiley and Anfernee, or Austin Wiley and
I would have said Chuma. I would have said Chuma.
But man, after like Maui, I would have said Chuma, but that's about it.
We were pretty high on Chuma going.
It was after last week's episode where Chuma went to the combine and then pulled out of the combine.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean,
it was during last. We were talking about this last week.
Yeah, we talked about it last week.
About how Chuma must have a promise. He must have been told by a team that you're not going to get further than this. And this is promise season. This is a constant thing on NBA Twitter where people will leak that so and so got a promise he's going to be top 10. Teams lie to guys all the time. So a lot of times, if you see a guy make a decision based on a promise, it usually means he's got more than one. So Chuma might have more than one promise. He might have been told by two or three teams, you're not making it past 25. You're not making it past 42.
It seems like just about every mock draft or expert that knows where Chuma's going to go, they always say that he's either going to go to Philly or to Boston. Those seem to be the two favorite destinations.
I've seen Philly, Boston, and San Antonio. Those are the three that I've seen.
Oh, I saw
Atlanta. Phoenix, too, in Atlanta. Yeah, that's true. I've seen four.
It's basically anybody that's got the picks.
Doesn't Atlanta have like three picks in this draft?
Atlanta's got so many picks.
Atlanta's got five.
Three picks in the first round, two in the second.
Two first, three second.
Okay. Yeah.
Not at the top of the rounds like we thought they were going
to
be.
The 20th pick to Boston. Yeah, I think 20th to Boston's where the Ringer has him, or where SB Nation has him. And I think that's the earliest I've seen him.
I will get an Okeke Boston Celtics jersey.
Look, I'll tell you right now.
Jersey.
It'll match your hat.
I've said it before. That's right. If Jared Harper gets drafted, I will buy a Jared Harper jersey. I'm not wearing tank tops. I'm not buying a jersey. And because they're $100 now.
Can you get a G League Jared Harper jersey if he starts in the G League?
Probably make that happen. Probably figure out somebody to make that for us. If it's not Adidas or Nike, I bet that could happen. I hope that if he goes to the G League, I hope he's in Dallas. If he's in Dallas, I know some folks who will go to every Dallas Legends game if he's on the Dallas Legends G League team. But yeah, best case scenario for Jared is a two-way contract going undrafted. I'd rather go undrafted if I'm Jared Harper than going at the end of the second. Just because the way the NBA contracts are...
He's
going
to get better money if he does that, right?
Yeah, you sign a shorter deal and then you can re-sign your second deal earlier, which means you can get a bigger contract earlier.
Yeah, get more money, especially if you...
You can go to perform. A team that you want to go to as well.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And Jared will get offers. As good as Jared has done... See, this is the thing about Jared Harper. He's so good at basketball. Like, yeah. He may not show up and wow you with how good he looks in a uniform. Like, Zion's going to do that. Zion will beat some teams just getting off the bench. But Jared, in 5-on-5 basketball, is as good as it gets.
Yeah.
And so Jared is, once they've let him play 5-on-5, all of a sudden he goes from he's invited to the G League thing to one of the stories of the NBA Combine. Just because... He is good at playing 5-on-5.
Yeah.
Well. And you spread that court out with a wider lane, wider 3-point line. Jared Harper has more places to drive. Jared Harper's an NBA player.
At this point, everybody should just give up on their ideas that Jared might come back next year.
Oh, God. Jared's not. Hey, other thing I wanted to say, Jared Harper was wearing some really sweet Kyries at the Combine and at the G League thing, and a different pair every game. So. Jared, I come back to Auburn. Yeah. Jared, I come back to Auburn, y'all. Jared's looking all right. Anyway, this might be a short episode for us today, guys.
Well, you got your real meat and potatoes with Drew's talk.
More content in that 10 or 15 minutes than I think we've given in 2 months.
Serious sports.
And Ryan has written out our Hammer and Nails segment, so we thought we probably weren't going to get off track, but we talked about Michael Crichton tonight.
Michael Crichton tonight. That was the most important part of this.
I think he's actually a climate change denier of some sort.
Well, he is past, so I think...
Well, it was.
Yeah, he might have been a denier of climate change. Which is weird, as sciencey as he was.
Well, it was more of a alarmist denial, I think.
Oh.
I don't know.
Coming from a guy who wrote a book about monkeys
that
could talk and, like, control the weather or whatever else they did.
It just wasn't playing with the apes.
Such a wild, bro. Wild thing.
This makes Planet of the Apes like, man, that could actually go down.
I saw the movie, Planet of the Apes, wheel naked AK-47s. Man, that's going to happen.
I always got Outbreak. No,
imagine that, but with laser guns, and you've got quasi what Congo's going to do.
Around the same time Congo came out, Outbreak came out. Also,
dude.
It's not a Michael Crichton reason. What I always think of it.
Late 90s, early aughts.
I think Outbreak was actually the number one movie when I was born.
Probably. There you go.
That sounds right. It's starring a racist flick. Monkey.
Yeah. Not a racist monkey. A racist monkey. Yeah. So.
And Dustin Hoffman.
There was this
Rene Russo, I think.
Where studios would release, like, they'd make a theme.
Yeah.
Where, like, Volcano. Remember Volcano?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Pierce Brosnan.
Dante's Peak was Pierce Brosnan. Yeah,
they came out the same year. And then Armageddon and Deep Impact came out the same year. Yep. There was another shark movie that came out, Deep Blue Sea. I can't remember what it was called. And then the monkey movies, Outbreak and
Well,
Congo.
I think what would happen is...
Why not do both?
Like, there's these things in development, and the other studio's like, oh, they're putting theirs
in. We're going to
put ours into production, too.
We need a monkey movie.
Yeah.
Well, I'm getting screwed with monkeys.
Yeah, John Wick 3, though. Great movie. Great. It's good.
It was an enjoyable time.
I haven't seen it.
I'm summarizing.
It was an enjoyable time.
I still haven't seen Avengers Endgame.
John Wick shoots a lot of people.
I could see. That's not a spoiler.
And kills a lot of people.
Yeah. That's kind of what they're he does in this film.
Did they touch a dog this time?
Does he do it with a pencil at any point in this
There's movie? A dog in this movie. No pencils this time.
Okay.
It's a Joker move, isn't it?
That's a John Wick move.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
We done?
Yeah.
We're rambling.
If you want to watch some cycling, the Giro d'Italia is still going on. I still think Primoz Roglic is the guy to beat, but he's not in pink right now. An Italian guy's in pink, which is kind of his plan. He lost the pink jersey on purpose, so this Italian guy would do more work, wear himself out, and then rope-a-dope. Roglic, who's Slovenian. I called him Slovakian last week.
Man.
He's Slovenian.
Big no-no.
Big no-no.
How about Dortmund?
Dortmund did its part.
They did their part. Well, they did their except part. For when a game
this is a soccer Schalke. Segment. I'm gonna head on out.
Look, he's back. And I read a couple of stupid think pieces about how they should let the big teams just go and start their own.
Oh yeah, have you seen about the Champions League?
They should let them go because for the first time in history, the top leagues in Italy, Spain, Germany, and England and France all had the same winners in 2 years in a row.
Yeah. Okay.
But that denies the fact that England and Germany's was literally down to the last game. Like,
yeah, yeah.
England super almost didn't. So did Germany. Like, Germany needed Dortmund screwed a game up.
Yeah, against Schalke.
Against Schalke. And then in England, yeah, obviously, famously, Liverpool ties Everton. So a couple of rivalry games are the reason why.
Yeah.
That have and yeah, like
it,
to me
it's frustrating with Dortmund though because
it isn't like PSG who was a foregone conclusion.
It just felt like this was Dortmund's year. Oh, they need to win it because Bayern struggled so hard at the beginning.
It may never happen.
Like, and they're like laden with old dudes that are all leaving now, and they're going to revamp this year, and they're going to run away with the league.
They're going to have a bunch of dudes that Chelsea didn't want and go play for Bayern Munich and be amazing for Munich.
So what about Ajax?
Ajax won. They won the Dutch league for the first time. Watch that game.
Or maybe it was the double that they
won the double for the first time. First time in a long time.
Yeah. But yeah, Ajax did real well. I don't know.
I want to buy
Champions League is thinking about doing this weird restructuring where they're basically another league.
And so teams that are in the Champions League.
Super Champions League?
Now, I want to call it a Super League.
And really the way it looks like is if you don't get in it this year and like qualify for it.
You'll never get in
again. You're probably never.
They're going to close the league off with no promotion.
There's like an 8% chance you can make it in.
It's really stupid.
It's like a P5, G5 thing. Like,
sort.
Exactly.
Yeah. You can be the best of the G5, but you're probably not getting them.
Well, and they would remove themselves from their local leagues.
That's not clear right now. Right now it doesn't seem like they're going to. They're still going to play in their league.
Why would the Champions League not let anybody get in? Because they don't want Everton to do it next year.
Well, it's not that you can't.
Sound like a UCF fan over there.
It's not that you can't. It's that they're guaranteeing
almost everyone
is back slot. In it.
Yeah.
There's
Everton trying to get a home and home series going.
You got to have a 2-1. The one UCF doesn't want. Anyway, we'll talk about a little bit more about that next week. So I'm sure we'll be a lot more soccering in the summer when there's nothing to talk about except for the United States women going for their third World Cup championship. Oh, their fourth World Cup championship.
Oh, I ate a big blue bagel. Tour de Ford. And the Hound yesterday. It was like a great day yesterday.
Happy birthday to Chief.
Oh, yeah. It was Chief's birthday. And you ate a big blue bagel and the Hound?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good birthday.
Yeah, it was pretty
good. Did you get Tiger Melt?
No.
Breakfast.
I got the big blue plate.
Oh yeah,
scrambled with cheese.
Yeah,
bacon.
What'd you get on your bagel?
I got a I ordered.
Okay.
I've been having some trouble with the bagels at the Big Blue the last few times. I ordered a cinnamon raisin with the cinnamon raisin walnut.
Oh yeah,
spread on it. I got a mystery bagel.
Ooh.
It may have been like multi-grain wheat something.
Sure,
it was fine.
Was it everything? It wasn't everything?
No,
it wasn't. Know that.
No, I would have barfed.
I love everything. I'm not.
The trouble I've had before is I kept ordering plain with strawberry cream cheese. But the strawberry cream cheese would be tainted with their onion cream cheese or whatever, and it would. Yeah. See, you bite into it. You're like
onion cream cheese. I want everything bagel with jalapeno cream cheese.
Strawberry cream cheese?
No.
Okay.
I'm an everything bagel. I know people who put the everything bagel seasoning on just all kinds of things, which is kind of wild. But I love everything bagel.
It's delicious.
Big Blue Bagel, if you want to send some free bagels to the bar, my gosh.
Big Blue, we love
it. I will eat the get out of those things.
We'll listen to the Grateful Dead on air if you want us to.
I would mind do that without them. We should probably watch like the 78 concert at Cornell and make Ryan watch it and just review it on
only
air.
Only watching Captain Ron.
Oh yeah, that's happening this summer. Anyway,
bocce ball. Week.
Oh, it's Ryan's birthday next week. No, it's the podcast's birthday next week.
Oh yeah,
we're gonna try to play bocce ball this week. Hopefully Wednesday night. We'll see what happens.
We have a special segment next week.
Oh,
I think we have
a sandwich
we've been teasing
spotlight.
For a full year now.
That's right, the sandwich spotlight of legend. Spotlight. Oh, we haven't talked about it in a long time.
If you don't know what we're talking about. Then you haven't been here long enough.
Yeah, you are an OG Orange and Truther.
Can we record live on location next week?
We could.
Will they let us?
Surely.
The one on that, they don't care.
What are they going to say?
Anyway, that's been your boys, Ryan, Chief, and me, Son of Crow, the Orange and Truthers.
Sorry.
And we'll catch you next week.
Bonus.